Thanks for joining us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I am PK. We're back on the air. If you're not being back on, so grateful to be back. Joining me now, the president of the Jazz and Sports Entertainment, and that is Jim Olson. We've been in this business for a long time, Jim, and you know, I don't know that I can remember a crazier time.
You know, PK, I can't either. It starts with the coronavirus, and then all of a sudden yesterday morning, everyone's getting ready to figure out their day, and we get shook with an earthquake. It has definitely been interesting times.
Yeah, and there's so much to talk to you about. Thanks for coming in. Just from the one that has the most fan interest, obviously, in our community is and always will be the Jazz and relative to the NBA. So what can you tell us about what you know, because you've been involved in numerous conference calls and all that stuff, about what's going on in the NBA as far as we know that it is a postponement, but what the immediate future holds and the long-range future, I guess. And I know you don't have any specific answers, but pretty much what do you know?
Well, PK, I have one specific answer, and that is we're going to be playing basketball games again. I don't know when, but I know that we will. We're going to have concerts in this venue. We're going to have conventions in this venue. And we're sitting in the venue right now. The radio station's going to keep broadcasting from this venue. So, you know, there is going to be an end to this. And, you know, we don't know exactly what the timeline is going to be. We can speculate. But to your point, you know, since this thing broke a week or so ago, you know, I got to tell you, there have been relentless efforts from everybody, starting with Gail Miller and the Miller family, to the leadership team, Steve Starks, the president of the Larry H. Miller Group of Companies, leading out on all of the companies with Larry Miller Group, to the leadership team within Sports Entertainment. It has been nonstop around the clock, trying to figure out what lies ahead. You know, it's interesting, if I could just share for a minute, you know, when this whole thing broke, I mean, it really broke with the Utah Jazz and Rudy being the first player that was diagnosed with the coronavirus. You know, because of that, you know, we spent the first day and a half figuring out how to get our team home from Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and that was crazy unto itself.
Yeah, not only get them home, but get them home safely. Get them home without putting others in danger. And, you know, we're so grateful for the doctors, the health officials, many other people that stepped up, government agency, Spencer Cox, who has been leading the governor's task force on COVID-19. So many people stepped up to help ensure the safety of our players. And then once we got them home, making sure that they were quarantined and in a safe environment. So while many others were able to focus on other issues, we spent our first day and a half, 2 days, maybe even 3 days, focusing on that.
So the players returned, and are they still under quarantine?
They are. They're still self-quarantined, and we have daily contact with them. We have people on the basketball ops side that are in contact, making sure they're okay, that they have food, and that they're not showing any symptoms, and they're taking very good care of the players.
So there is communication from just the well-being standpoint. How's it being handled as far as any terms of basketball skill development, conditioning, or is that just all on hold now?
That's all on hold. The health of our players has been a top priority. And, you know, I want to say this too. The health of all of our employees has been a top priority. We were able, the fact that we're sitting here in this studio today, we were able to get this space sanitized, but we've been sanitizing the entire arena, the practice facility, the office space over at the practice facility. You know, the health and safety of our employees has been our number one priority concern. And that's from our players to every employee that we have.
There's so much going on in the world as far as potential loss of income, and who knows what that entails, because jobs are serious stuff, and you just can't take it lightly. And anytime anybody gets laid off, I don't care who it is, you know, you feel it for them. And you speak of all these employees that you've got going on. I mean, the Miller Corporation employs over 10,000 folks, right? I mean, that's just an enormous number. So here locally, in terms of your charge, what is being done to help and protect them?
Well, you're exactly right. If I could just share this thought first, and then I'll get to your question. But I can't tell you how many times I've thought over this last week. Yeah, Gail Miller often talks about enriching lives, and she and Larry and the family, you know, that was something that was important to them from the very beginning. And one of the ways that they've been able to enrich lives and enrich a community has been by providing jobs. And you mentioned 10,000. We're up almost to 11,000 employees in the Larry Miller Group of Companies. And it has always been a priority of the Miller family to provide jobs in the communities where they are. And so it's just such a huge priority. And so since that's a priority from the top in our organization, we've been in regular contact. We are reaching out to every employee. We've already reached out to every employee. There's been email communication, conference calls, one-on-one phone calls, making sure people are safe, making sure people aren't experiencing any symptoms of the illness. We are focused on developing both long-term and short-term plans to try to protect our employees the best that we can. I can tell you those discussions are still in the works right now, but there is an enormous commitment to protect our employees. I've got to mention along those lines, we were so grateful for Rudy's contribution of $200,000 to our part-time employees. We're excited to get that distributed to those employees. There are some timing issues. He made that announcement a couple of days ago. And fortunately, you know, here at the arena, we just had 9 events in 9 days right before this whole thing broke. And so most of our employees were able to work a lot of events, more events than they would in a particular time period like that. And they worked a lot of events, and that pay period is coming up right now, and we're processing those paychecks. And then following, after we get those paychecks processed, we're gonna work on making sure that 100% of Rudy's donation will go to the part-time employees that put on, you know, game night here at the Utah Jazz.
So those folks who come in, they are basically contracted on a per event basis? Is that how it works?
No, they're hourly employees. So they're employees of the organization, and they come in and work an event. They have an opportunity to sign up to work the event. They don't work every single event. We try to have a minimum just so we can manage the staff of how often you have to work so once again we can manage the right employee population. But they sign up for events, and we're going to make sure once again within a very short period of time that donation of Rudy 100% of it gets out to those employees.
And this was unbeknownst to me, but I guess there was some discussion that the money wasn't going to them, but you're telling me that it is.
I'm telling you that 100% of the $200,000 that Rudy donated will go to those part-time employees. There's the discussion of how it best gets divided up and how it gets dispersed, but that's a huge priority, and we're going to have that wrapped up here in the next couple of days.
So when you listen and when I listen to Adam Silver do his interview, he's a man of, you don't get to that stature unless you have great accomplishment in your personal and your professional life. And as I'm listening to him speak, he speaks of the 30 days that he originally put out there. But then he says that, okay, this is just basically a guideline. I just put that out there to give people some idea. It's not a deadline of any sort. It's an idea. And as I come away listening to him speak, is that he doesn't really know specifically what is out there for sure that he can say, we're going to go down this path, we're going to go down that path. Since we're in such uncharted territory here in the world, literally, from an NBA standpoint and from a franchise standpoint, how much concern is there over the fear of the unknown?
Well, I think that's something that we're trying to combat. There is unknown, but but I don't want to call it fear.
Okay.
What we're doing is we are focusing with, to your point, it was a great point, we're focusing with the great leadership of Adam Silver, the great leadership of Gail Miller in this community. We are focusing on every single possibility and scenario that could roll out in the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. As I mentioned earlier, we know this is going to end. We know we're going to play basketball again. We know we're going to have great concerts, great shows, other great events. And so what is that scenario? If for some great opportunity that happens in 30 days, we will be ready to open up these doors and put on all the events that we do. If it's 60 days, we'll be ready 90 days. There have been a lot of calls with experts and people are trying to, you know, guess how long this thing's going to go. I'm going to stay away from that. But what I'm going to tell you is we, every waking moment, we are considering scenarios to make sure we're in the best position for when those doors open.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. You're preparing for stuff to happen that might not happen, but yet you still have to be prepared for it no matter if it happens or not. That's kind of a crazy agenda each day, basically, as you guys come to work.
You know, I probably shouldn't use this as an example, but quite frankly, it's a really good example. You know, we've experienced lockouts before.
Yeah.
And you know, a lockout can end any day.
Right.
And boy, the minute that lockout ends, we're in business. And so we've got people that are experienced and understand that scenario. We are so fortunate to have the employee base that we have. Many of them are working from home right now, but their commitment to continue to do their jobs and figure out new ways. We're getting innovative. We're figuring out new ways to connect with our fans. We're figuring out new products that we're going to be able to roll out. So it's giving us a chance to get innovative and allow our employees to maybe do some of the things that you wouldn't normally have time to do in a normal business environment. And from every employee throughout the whole company, we are committed to making sure that the day this thing ends, we're ready to go.
One of the things that Adam Silver discussed possibly is that as you're looking at this, and pretty much everything and anything is on the table for discussion. I think he even said that if you have ideas, let me know. If I remember correctly, basically saying that. And there's been talk of considering an adjustment of the calendar on a permanent basis. Is that something that the Jazz have thought about, and do they have an opinion on it?
Well, I will tell you that, yes, it's something that the Jazz have thought about. Once again, just back to this, the thought that we are considering every scenario, every possibility. We're not prepared to share an opinion on it right now, but I will tell you, with everything else, those discussions are being had.
So last week, the governor spoke, and you talk about Spencer Cox and had some other folks listening. And I was actually driving back from Vegas because I was down there for conference basketball. And so I'm listening to it as I'm literally driving home. And I noticed that they have Steve Starks there. And I thought, that's interesting to have a who we would recognize as a sports person. I mean, I know he has other duties beyond that, but we'd recognize him as a sports person. But then I'm thinking, well, the Jazz are such a focal point of the community to where in a lot of ways that if this arena got open and things got back to normal, it's almost like the Jazz would set the tone for the rest of the community. Do you feel that way in terms of management being so involved in this community that you are a leader in terms of things have happened that need to happen? And what I mean by that, have you reached out to businesses and clients and all that type of stuff? And what type of discussions have been going on there?
You know, that's a great question, PK, and I'm going to answer it in two parts. One, yes, you know, the Jazz are a focal point of this community, and we have an absolute responsibility to lead out. And we're taking that responsibility seriously, from everything from our employees to our fans, patrons, everyone that we do, our vendors, everyone that we do work with. And we are committed to leading out and helping to be, you know, a positive force in getting through this. Secondly, to your point, you know, Steve Starks is running one of the biggest companies in this business right now, in this community right now. When you take into consideration our dealerships, finance company, real estate company, you know, everything. And there has been a great coordination from the governor's office to pull in the business leaders that have the ability. And I want to express something, and hopefully I do it in a clear manner, but we have an opportunity right now. We have to be safe, and we have to be very careful about putting people in a situation where they can work in a safer environment. But when that can happen, it is so important to keep that going during this phase. You're here working today. We've got engineers, you know, helping the show run. I walked in downstairs, the sanitizing crew, you know, they're still, you know, cleaning up some of the areas. I'm just saying the businesses of this community have a great opportunity to do everything they can to keep things going as much as possible in a safe environment. And once again, it's Steve Starks, as leader of the Larry Miller Group of companies. He's been involved in those conversations, and we're committed to play a positive role in doing that.
So as one by one things close, the NBA season stopped. NCAA tournament canceled. That didn't, it had an effect on us because we had two teams that were going to play in there. And then it gets more to the local level. And it's like, it's like a blow. Okay, the gyms are being closed. Oh, the restaurants are being closed. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You follow along. And then we hear that the theaters are being closed. Oh, no. And it's like, it's our lives that we know, they're being taken away from us. I'm not judging whether it should be or shouldn't be. I'm just saying that's the reaction. And you see the emails. Oh, no, the theaters now. And the theaters are such a form of entertainment that everybody uses. And whether you're a sports fan or not, how much angst and deliberation went into that to make that decision?
You know, you're probably going to get me to be a little emotional right now. Yesterday was a tough day. We were holding on to the theaters as one of those things that was still providing that opportunity
right.
for people to escape. For better or for worse, we were the last man standing as far as being open. And we just decided that after discussions with national theater organizations, as well as local groups, that it was the right thing to do. It was a hard day. But I've got to mention, when we talked to the theater staff yesterday and went through this whole process, to see their energy and their excitement to figure out, you know, when those theaters open back up, they're going to be opened up as if they're being opened up for the first time. That we're going to be able to get some work done and some things updated and new ideas of how to engage and create a better experience at the theater. And so while it was a tough, tough day yesterday, I got to tell you, there's still a passion and an energy to make sure that those things open up. We've learned that when you come out of difficult times like this, theaters are actually one of the first thing to bounce back because it's a quick, fun, great form of entertainment. So we're going to be ready for that.
And so you speak of some national discussion. How much at the company level, you've already spoken with the locals, and we know you've been involved, obviously, with the political leaders. But in terms of when decisions are made now, it's basically shut down. How much discussion are you involved in on a national level to know that we're not operating isolating here? We're just doing what everybody else is doing. And so you're prepared as you go forward to match what is out there and what is viewed as acceptable from a national level.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is that there hasn't been a single decision made in a vacuum throughout this process with our organization. Every decision has been in conjunction with discussions through the NBA, discussions with other major arenas throughout the country, health organizations and doctors and experts in the field. And so, you know, we as a company, we often say, you know, it's not important to be first, it's important to be right. And so maybe sometimes, you know, like the theaters, it probably took us a day or two to close before some of the others and some of these other decisions we're making. We want to be right. And so everything we're doing, we're consulting, as I mentioned, with the MBA and the other businesses that we're associated with. And when we make a decision, it's the right decision.
So as far as, and probably the thing that has the most interest is the NBA, because we're all fans of the Jazz to one degree or another. And we're, you know, in our case, it's so important to our jobs. As the days go forward and there is monitoring and discussion and all that, how will it come about in terms of whenever it is, because you say we will have basketball again, when we reach that decision of when it's time to return, how does that decision get made and who's involved? Because I just don't think it's Adam Silver calling up everybody. Okay, we're going on the 25th or whatever. How's that work?
Yeah, well, there have been and there will continue to be regular phone calls with NBA Board of Governors, NBA presidents, phone calls at other department levels, from ticket sales to corporate partners to arenas and operational needs at the arenas. And I will tell you that every aspect of the business will have a voice in when they are ready and when it's the right time. And once again, history has shown that Adam Silver knows how to bring people together, and the decision will be collaborative and it will be right.
Would it be a vote?
I'm not aware exactly if it would be that. I think my thought that it'll be very clear to everybody when the time is right, and we're going to be anxious and we're going to be excited, but at the same time, it's got to be right from a safety standpoint.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to know when the time's right.
And so how much time would you need from the time that, okay, we think we can go before the time that it actually you do go?
Well, I mean, simply from an operational standpoint, we would be ready within days. But there's more to it than that. There's communication. You got to look at team issues and travel for teams and getting that travel scheduled. I'm going off of memory, but it seems like in our last lockout, was it maybe 7 to 9 days somewhere? It turned around quick, but, a week to 2 weeks and things could get rolling.
It seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, but are we 2 years or 3 years removed from the coming up on 2 or 3 years from the building renovated during that
summer?
We're
in our third season with the renovation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems like since then, we're in here every day, obviously, and it seems like since the renovation, am I accurate in saying there's been way more activities and events than before?
You're absolutely accurate. This renovation has been one of the greatest things that we've done as an organization. We've gone. I'll throw you the numbers. We've gone from an average of 12 to 14 concerts a year to over 30 concerts a year.
I thought so.
Yeah, and not only just concerts, big shows.
Right.
We're now in the concert industry. There's a term that's used: must play. If you're a must play market, and this renovation turned us into a must play market.
Oh, sweet.
Shows want to come play this venue, and so our shows have almost tripled. And we're getting the big shows.
Yeah, yeah. Las Vegas North, here we come.
And if I could just mention that, all of the shows that we had scheduled for March and April, they haven't been canceled. They've been postponed.
That's what I was going to lead to.
Yeah, I got an email last night from John Kimball and Mark Powell, who run the arena from the event standpoint, and we already have dates for every one of those shows.
That's exactly what I'm going to.
They haven't been announced yet because there's some scheduling conflicts with not conflicts, but scheduling issues in other markets that everybody's working on. But I will tell you, every single one of them have one or two dates that are being held to make sure those get rescheduled. I don't think we're going to lose a show.
That's exactly was my question, because it's not just the ball club to hear him play games, but it's all this other stuff that people come down here for. I mean, this is obviously the place where I would imagine, I mean, I know football stadiums hold a bunch, but in terms of overall attendance in A to Z and events, this building has got to be far and away the lead in this community.
Yeah, I mean, we have 100 events a year, including the Jazz games, 40 plus with playoffs when we have those, and 50 about events of, other types of events. It's 100 nights. That's one out of almost every 3 nights of the year that we're running.
Okay. Before we get out of here, anything that I didn't ask that you want to say?
No, but I want to check in. Are you doing okay? How are you and your family?
As far as we're going, as far as we know, we're okay. And my wife's a school teacher, and this is a funky time, obviously. And I've got a ninth grader and another one in college. And I think that from just the average citizen, there is a sense of just the unknown is okay, I got this, and now we've settled into this pattern.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
It's not great. But what else is out there?
Yeah.
Are we going to have to do something else? It's the possibilities scare you a little bit. And I think the fear of the unknown is what's ahead. If we just had to deal with this, and this is the way it is for X amount of time, I think, at least from my perspective, from our family, we've settled into this.
Right.
You know, instead of going to the gym, I'm now going to the park in the afternoon and I'm walking around. All right, I can live with that.
Yeah.
But what's next? Yeah. If there is anything next. And I think that maybe, I don't know that I speak for anybody, but I speak for my little family. And that's what we're concerned about. And one of the things that I think that you really, really realize is that, man, whatever your routine is, that's a good routine to have. And it's been, at least in my case, getting up, coming to work, and now going home. You know, I'd go home and take a nap, go to the gym, and then this time of year, I go to spring practice.
Right.
And then I come home, and I'm watching the ball game. And I'm taking notes and all that.
Yeah.
Well, now I was like, well, what the heck am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? I want to be doing that routine. I want to be doing it desperately. I want to go to spring ball this afternoon.
Yeah.
I want to see which Utah quarterback is going to throw interceptions against the Sun Devils next fall. You know what I mean? I want to know that.
Well, listen, hey, all I know is you got to stay safe. You got to stay healthy. But we all can pitch in, find a way to serve your neighbor, find a way to look out for someone in need, give a little bit to those that need. And this is a community that prepares for times like this. And we've seen incredible things going on in this community. And I just think we all have an opportunity to pitch in and help.
All right, that's Jim Olson, president of the Jazz, president of Larry H. Miller Sports and Entertainment, getting you up to date. We appreciate you. Thanks for coming in, Jim.
Thank you. Good to be with you.